بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, few things I want to share with you with regard to this coronavirus. For some funny reason, it seems that some people still haven't got it, which is the necessity for isolation. And that means that you do not meet people, that you do not congregate, that you do not come into contact with anybody. Stay at home, wash your hands frequently, don't touch anybody, do not visit anybody, do not allow anybody to visit you. This is not about friendship, or rather I should say it is about friendship. The reason you are telling somebody don't visit me is for their good. It doesn't mean that you are not their friend. If you are not their friend, then you would probably visit them and have them visit you, and you would ignore the warnings about this coronavirus. I'm asking Umair to send along with this a video about the case zero in Korea. This was a woman who came there from China, and she developed, or rather she exhibited the symptoms of COVID-19 15 days after she reached Korea. And they traced her back, they traced it all back, and they calculated in terms of who she met and so on and so forth. And they say that 60% of the infection that spread in Korea was thanks to this one woman. Now, she's not a villain. She didn't do it on purpose. I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying that this is the nature of this virus, that you do not know that you are contagious. You do not know that you have been infected. You do not know that you are contagious until you manifest the symptoms yourself, by which time it is already too late. Because you have unknowingly passed it on to literally, it could be thousands of people. Because if you went into any public place which is visited by many people, which is places like railway stations, bus stations, airports, any kind of congregation and so on, then this thing, all of those people who are infected would be because of you. Again, you are not doing it deliberately. But if you are not taking precautions, then I must say that you have blood on your hands. I'm sorry to be blunt, but that's the reality. Now, as far as congregations are concerned, I am talking about masajid. We heard cases of one masjid in Mumbai where the trustees were arrested because of violating the congregation ban. I know of a church here in the United States which was fined $5,000 because they violated the ban. And I must say that this is well deserved. The whole point of the congregation ban is that people do not congregate, because it is extremely, extremely dangerous. A dear friend of mine from California was telling me that he was reading a book in Arabic, which is a commentary by Ibn Jawzi on the plague which happened in those days. And he says that strangely, there was no controversy about shutting down masajid. Masajid were shut down. Jamaat Salah was suspended. Jummah was suspended. And the Muslims knew what to do. They weren't fighting each other. Now, just think about this. You know, people have been sending out fatwa saying that have the Jummah with three people and one imam, three musallin and one imam. Have the congregational prayers also with just three or four people, and don't spend too long and all that. Now, think about this. What are we facing here? We are facing here an epidemic. We are facing here the possibility that a person who is contagious comes into a place and contaminates and infects whoever else is there. So, think about the situation. Here is a situation where the three musallis and the imam, Those three musallis and the imam are not confined in the masjid. They are living in their homes. And from their home, maybe they go somewhere and whatnot. One or more of them is contagious, has been infected. He comes into the masjid. He infects the others. How does he infect the others? Because this virus is airborne. If you cough or sneeze, it stays in the air for 8 hours. So now imagine this contagious musalli or this contagious imam enters the masjid. In the foyer of the masjid, he coughs. And then he comes into the masjid, he prays. And when he goes out and when the other three people go out, they are walking through that fog of the virus in the air. Any one of them could have touched a door handle. I mean, obviously, they didn't come through the wall. They came through the door, which means that they touched the door handle. They would have touched the carpets, the musalla in the masjid. Three or four people makes no difference. The point is that if any of them is infected, this one woman, her contribution was 60% of the infection in Korea. So, imagine what we are talking about. Now, as far as the fatwa is concerned, I don't know. I think we should think more deeply about these things. The question of the quorum for Jummah, when and where was this question asked? And when they asked this question, do you think the person who asked this question to the Mufti, and the quorum of 3 plus 1 is actually the fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa, when they asked this question to Imam Abu Hanifa or to whoever they asked, did they go and say that we are facing a situation of an epidemic which is airborne, which is highly, highly contagious, and in that situation, should we have Jummah? And if we have Jummah, how many people are required? Do you think that is the question they asked? I can bet you the question they asked would have been a general question to say, what is the minimum number of people that is required for us to make Jummah? Now, why would you ask a question like that? In our modern day context, for example, if you are studying in a university, in a country in which there are few Muslims, you might well find yourself to be the only Muslim in that place, or maybe there are just two or three Muslims. So there are totally three people or four people who are Muslim. You want to do Jummah, you find that the masjid, the nearest masjid where Jummah is held, is maybe 50 kilometers away or 100 kilometers away. So what do you do? So should you not pray Jummah at all? Or is that three people or four people enough to form the quorum for us to make Jummah? Now, that is the kind of question which would have been asked. What is the minimum number of people? Now, to that, the Mufti quite correctly would have answered, you need four people. To take that and apply it in a pandemic situation and say that make Jummah with four people, I think this just shows a lack of application of mind. So, I request whoever is given these fatwas to withdraw those fatwas. Those fatwas are not correct. Shut down the masjid. No Jummah, no congregational prayer, not with one person, not with two people, not with four people, not with 100 people. Shut down the masjid, as simple as that. Please understand this. It is as lethal and as clear as that. So also, obviously, if you are talking about shutting down masajid, obviously, this refers to shutting down of everything else, including our famous weddings and whatever else. Either don't have it, postpone it, couple of months is not going to kill you, and or if you want to have it, then have it in this way, which is that you just have it, just the bride and the groom and the wali and the two witnesses, that's all that is required, and that's it, finished, right? Please, my brothers and sisters, take this thing seriously. Take this thing seriously. I'm seeing, and I think this is, Ajib, this thing doesn't seem to have, it's not only the Muslims, but it seems to be the problem everywhere. But I'm concerned about the Muslims for another very, very big and important reason. You know, and I know that in Karimnagar in India, there were seven people from Tablighi Jamaat from Indonesia who had gone there. Now, they all of them tested positive. As a result of which, Karimnagar whole city got shut down. These people were put into quarantine and all that. In Pakistan, Islamabad, there was one person or one or more people, I think three or four people, from Kazakhstan who had gone Tablighi Jamaat, and they visited several masajid, and it was Massages were shut down and so on. In South Africa, I heard cases like this where people tested positive. Some people, I believe, are hiding it. Some people are not talking about it. But others talked about it, but they had been to an istema and they had, there was a big congregation. Now, the point I'm making is that please understand that because of this, now, I'm not blaming that the people who came from Indonesia, they didn't come with the purpose of infecting the people of Karimnagar. They didn't know they have it. They moved, and because they moved, because they had it, now everybody in Karimnagar is in danger. So they have shut down the whole city. So also in other places. The point I'm making is, what do you think should be done in this situation? Pure, simple logic. Even a baby should be able to tell you, which is stop all movements of all jamaats, right? Because unless you do that, you are potentially going to open yourself to being accused of spreading this disease to all the rest of the people. What do you think that does to the image of Tablighi Jamaat? What do you think that does to the image of Muslims? Please understand, in different places, in India is one of them, Muslims are already under a lot of pressure. They are already facing all kinds of hostilities and so on and so forth for no fault of theirs. They have not nothing to earn that. But this is happening for various other reasons. Now, don't give those people, the Islamophobes, the enemies of the Muslims, don't give them a stick to beat the Muslims over the head with. Because of our lack of concern, because of our lack of responsibility, let us not do that. Now, final point, we hear this again from many people. They say, you know, we are doing our morning azkar, we are doing our night azkar. We pray in jamaat, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of us, so why should we worry? This virus will not affect us because we are praying in jamaat. You know, I was listening, somebody made this very nice video, and I'm just repeating what I heard this brother say, may Allah bless him. He made a very good point. He said two things. Firstly, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this famous hadith, he said, if you meet a person with leprosy, he said, run away as you would run away from a lion. And then he said to the people who are the relatives of that person to take care of him. He didn't tell them to stone him or kill him. They said, just take care of them. But other people, he said, if you come close to that person, run away. Don't stay close to that person. Run away like you would run away from a lion. Second thing is, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the plague which happened during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, many people died, and many of them were sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now tell me, you say that you are doing the morning azkar and you are praying and so on, so this will not affect you. Don't you think the sahaba were doing morning azkar? Don't you think the sahaba were praying? What do you imagine about the quality of their azkar and the quality of their salah compared to yours? So how come they died? My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules are different. Just because you're doing morning azkar, if you think that you can walk in front of a bus and nothing will happen to you, if you think that you can walk in the middle of a train track while the train comes and then you will not be killed because you have done morning azkar, this is nonsense. This is complete nonsense. So please, morning azkar have nothing to do with this. If you contract this disease, you will die. And what is worse is, if you don't take precautions, you will be the cause of the deaths of others. And this is blood on your hands, as simple as that. You are doing morning azkar or not has nothing to do with that. So please continue to do morning azkar. Please continue to pray. But this is not the time for us to congregate in masajid and so on and so forth. So let us not fall into this trap. This is all ignorance. Let us understand. Let us believe what the doctors and scientists are telling us. All knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the knowledge of the wahi exclusively to the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the knowledge of how his creation runs to anyone who made effort in that area. For the last 300 years, that effort has been made by non-Muslims. So they have that knowledge. All that knowledge, what they have and what you and I have, comes only from one source, and that source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us respect that knowledge. Let us not be disparaging about it. And let us follow the instructions that have been given. As of now, there is no cure for this disease. There is no prophylactic. There is no vaccine for this disease. The only solution we have is self-isolation, self-quarantine. and social distance, not going to congregations, not collecting together in groups, not visiting people. This is all we know at the moment. Let us follow that so that we are safe, and also, even more importantly, we do not become the cause for somebody else to contract the disease and for someone else to suffer and someone else to die because of our lack of concern for others. Please let us understand this and let us follow this. Jazakallahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.